And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you. Any questions, comments, concerns, 785-537-1350 as we go down the home stretch here. And what better way to do it than with Riley County Appraiser, Greg McHenry. Greg, welcome in the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It is. And I'll ask you the same question I've been asking everybody the past 24 hours. Any big summer vacation plans for yourself?
Actually, my wife and I are taking the first vacation in 10 years this week, or this year. Later in August, we're going to go to Colorado and spend about 7 or 8 days camping up there, in the Rockies. Looking forward to it.
Up in the Rockies?
Up by Telluride, Ouray area. Beautiful, beautiful area. Tawny hasn't been there yet, so she's looking forward to the trip, too.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. Camping's fun, and that's the way to camp. That's real camping there.
Yeah.
That's legit.
I kind of grew up that way, and we've started doing that again recently a little bit, and really appreciate it. It's fun.
All right. Well, we were talking over break about housing evaluations. We were talking about the budget yesterday with Commissioner Ben Wilson and Budget and Finance Officer Tammy Robinson, but they can't talk about that much until they have your numbers, until your job's kind of done there. Talk about some of that.
That's correct. You're absolutely right. Essentially, the property taxes that are levied both at the school district, city, and county level are a result of valuations on real estate value and personal property value as well. Real estate obviously makes up the majority of that or the bulk of that. But once we're done valuing those properties and certifying the results of those values to the county clerk's office, then the county clerk's office and school district and city folks get together and start determining what their portion of the mill levy needs to be based on that value.
Because such a large percentage of the revenues that cities and counties really have to work with is property values.
It really is. You know, the property tax probably gets a bad rap in some circles sometimes, but it really is a local tax. You know, property taxes aren't going to the federal government or the state government to much degree. It's mostly what pays for our local services, schools, city, and county. And, you know, there's been a shift over the past few years, you know, 3 to 4 years for sure, of more reliance on that local property tax. And people see the impact of that, obviously. But it really is a local tax, and local decisions determine what that mill levy is going to be and what that tax burden needs to be.
So as far as those values, and these would be 2017 values.
That's correct. These are values that are established as of January 1st, 2017, and we're already diving into our analysis and our studies and our work for the 2018 values. So it's an ongoing process, but January 1 of each year, we establish those values that are used for the tax bills that come out later in November of that same year.
So 2017 values, how are we looking?
2017 values, again, I sound like a rundown record when I say this every year, but we had a record valuation, almost $6 billion, which is a large number, particularly given the number of properties that we have. You know, we're about between 25 and 26,000 parcel count county. Not large in relationship to, say, a Johnson County, but in the scope of our property types, it's very similar. You know, we have a lot of the national retailers and a pretty active economy like some of our peers that are larger.
And that, you said $6 billion, and that $6 billion, that's taxable? Because I know we got a lot of exempt properties.
Yeah, that's what's appraised value. Now, of that, that's a good question. Of that, typically from year to year, about 26 to 28% sometimes of that is exempt. And that's the highest ratio in the state. We have a lot of exempt property valuation. And when you think about it, what that really means is our employment base, a large portion of our employment base does not pay property taxes. And that's different than, say, a Salina maybe, where there's quite a bit of industry, manufacturing, that type of thing going on. So it presents challenges to those decision makers, those policy setters at the city and county and school district boards.
And that's mostly, I assume, mostly Kansas State University property and probably maybe a little bit of Fort Riley property, or would that just be Pott County?
Nope, it would be Geary County kind of has what I call the lower portion of Fort Riley, the older established areas, the historic areas, And Riley County primarily has the Custer Hill area. So, it's a combination of Kansas State, Fort Riley, and now we're starting to see a lot more of those public-private partnerships between the university and private industries, like the K-State Foundation building, where portions of that building are taxable, portions are not, because they're used by the foundation. So it's a mix of a lot of things that is kind of unique to Manhattan.
And along with those higher values, I know there's also just been a lot of building, too, and a lot of construction with that as well.
There has been. We're having a real hard time keeping up with it all. And I'm sure Lois and the folks in Pottawatomie County would say the same thing. But we continue to see a lot of growth, both residential and commercial. This year, a little more so on the residential side. But that's a positive that a lot of our peers across the state don't have the advantage of having. You know, that new construction is new tax base. It helps offset somewhat, the impacts of higher property taxes for everyone.
Brady Bowman here with Riley County Appraiser Greg McHenry. Any questions for Greg? 785-537-1350. And Greg, we were talking a little bit over break, but when you talk about all that new construction that's happening and new houses being built that's happening here in Riley County and Pike County, it seems like the easy answer to that is just the anticipation of MBAP coming in, which should be rolling and operating here probably within the next 3, 4, 5 years, somewhere along those lines. But you were telling me it's bigger than that. It's more than that.
It really is. You know, we've seen fluctuations and growth at times at Fort Riley. That obviously has a major impact for us in the economy and in the job base. But we've also seen a lot of small engineering companies, accounting firms, a lot of growth in the medical field. If you drive by Via Christi and some of our medical providers, you'll see newer facilities and office buildings because we've become more of that regional provider for a lot of those services. I think that's a huge thing. And then obviously the growth at Kansas State, it's more than, in my opinion, it's more than just the numbers of enrollment too. It's those public-private partnerships. It's things like the new engineering building, the new business building, you know, the list goes on and on. And obviously athletics has a big impact on us as well. But all of those things help create job growth and help our economy be better and different than a lot of our peers.
Kind of almost kind of like a little bit of a domino effect in a way with all these little dominoes placing and all these things happening at the same time. You kind of get this explosion of growth.
It really is. You know, MBAF is the big one that everybody knows about, but there are so many other things going on as well. And there are offshoots of MBAF. You know, I'm sure the folks at the K-State Foundation would say they're already seeing a growth and interest in their office park as a result of MBAF and this bioscience corridor that we're kind of in the midst of and a kingpin of.
I'm sure this kind of stretches your office a little bit sometimes dealing with all this growth.
Yeah, it really does. You know, we had our office had 21 and a half positions back when we had a little under 19,000 parcels. We have 17 and a half now, and we're between 25 and 26. We're not complaining, but it is a fact, you know, that our resources are stretched and all the county agencies' resources are stretched because of the growth. But it's growth that we're sure not going to turn down. We've attempted to kind of accommodate that through, further training, get the right people, the right training, and a little bit of technology too to kind of take place of some of the people needs that we used to have in the past, and that's helped us a lot. We take tablets to the field now, so we're not having to have a data entry staff in our office. We use very good aerial photography to help us kind of identify and discover property characteristics rather than making quite so many trips to the field, that type of thing.
Drone use then, I suspect?
We haven't dived into that yet. That's something that's talked about a lot, and not just in the appraisal industry, but in the private sector as well. There has to be a point where that would be cost effective, you know, for us to really want to go down that path, and I don't know that we've fleshed out all those details yet, but that's a possibility in the future.
Going back to home prices for a little bit, is there such, and I know we've had, I don't know how many years in a row it's been where home prices have increased, but is there a ceiling on that? Is there such is there a worry about prices getting like too high and continuing to go too high when it comes to housing prices?
That's probably one of the questions I get asked the most often. You know, a lot of us who have been in the community a long time are astounded by the continued growth in valuation, the continued growth in those sale prices, numbers of sales. You know, I always remind folks, that's simply a function of supply and demand. We've always kind of had a history of having kind of an equilibrium that doesn't get out of balance between those two. And, so far that's meant a real good real estate economy for us historically, traditionally. But if demand would drop for some reason or supply would exceed demand, you could see some changes in the local real estate economy. At this point, I can't say that we have, but yeah, that's always a possibility.
And I would assume a lot of the worry and maybe the reason you get some of those questions just because everybody knows how, when we talk about the recession from 2007-2008, how linked all that was as far as the housing bubble, they called it, and subprime mortgages and those things. And I guess sometimes people worry about when they see those go up again like that and consistently, maybe they worry, are we heading down that direction again? But you haven't seen anything that think that there's any similarities.
And you know, actually during 2008 and 2009, we were fairly insulated from that bubble. You know, our foreclosure rate still remained very, very low throughout that period of time and since. And that's one of those indicators of, the health of your real estate economy. Our numbers of sales didn't really decline or change substantially. We saw a little bit of a flattening in the market, but, you know, local lenders still had business. Folks were still buying and selling real estate. And that was probably different than some segments of the real estate economy. Places like Las Vegas and on the coast, Detroit, the Phoenix area. You know, some of those areas got hit hard because of a lot of factors related to the financing of real estate, but also supply and demand factors as well.
Right, and they had those foreclosure rates that we didn't see here.
They did. Their foreclosure rates were much higher. And even in Kansas, if you would talk to my peers in Wyandotte County during that period of time, their foreclosure rate was quite a bit higher. Shawnee County's was as well. Topeka suffered from the recession much more so than Manhattan did, Raleigh County did.
Of course, a lot of that really, and you kind of touched on it there for a second, but a lot of that was kind of more on the banking end of things and really the valuation end of things.
Yeah, that was a combination of a lot of kind of a perfect storm in the real estate finance world, but we really weren't impacted to a large degree like some of those other folks were.
All right. Looking at the clock, about 9:59. Anything else you want to touch on real quick? Maybe you got about 30, 40 seconds.
I'll just let folks know that, this is the time of the year when our appraisers are out in the field. So we're making property visits that we're required to make, annual visits, and also verifying sales and building permits, et cetera. And we're there to help you, and we're there to try to be as accurate and fair as we can. That's our only purpose in being there.
All right. That works. Appreciate it. And thanks again for coming on last minute. I know you called yesterday. Helped me on the pinch. Really appreciate it, Greg.
Glad to be here.
Dave.
All right. Good to see you, Greg. Thanks for stopping by. Moving up on 10 a.m. tomorrow, our guest, Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce President Lyle Butler. It's 10 o'clock. Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, and the game are all on the way. Royals tonight. Make that Royals today at 2. Okay.
They're your neighbors, your volunteers, your coaches. This is their home, too. Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan.
I'm Steve Kaith, and it was just before 8 a.m. at a baseball diamond in Alexandria, Virginia, when suddenly there was gunfire.
A victim down in the baseball field.
That victim.